Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and I was born and raised in a polygamy group, and we discuss the issue of polygamy here on this show. I was lectured from the time that I was a small child of the necessity of living and working and dying as a faithful member of the polygamy group that I was born and raised in. And when I was old enough, I was also lectured incessantly on the extreme joys that was promised to us if we practice polygamy here, and of the threat of the eternal weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity if we didn't practice polygamy here. And we're here to do the show to debunk those lies, because they are lies. We want you to know that that isn't of God. God's love is deeper and kinder and better than that. This is a live telephone call-in program, and we do invite your phone calls. Our telephone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. If you would prefer to communicate with us by email, our email address is tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and either way, we would love to hear from you. All of our previous programs can be watched on the internet at whatloveisthis.tv, whatloveisthis.tv. If you know anyone who's outside of our viewing area or is unable to receive the program, you can tell them to go onto that website and they'll be able to watch all of our previous programs on streaming video. And for more information about polygamy and about what we do to help people in polygamy, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. You can learn all about polygamy. You can learn about us. There's a contact page if you'd like to contact us in various ways. The information is there. We want you to know if you're in a polygamy group or if you know someone who is in a polygamy group. That is not what God has required for salvation. We want you to know that we will help you if you are in some kind of a situation where you're being forced into something you don't want to do. Maybe you're in an abusive situation. Whatever it might be, we're here to help you, and we want to help you. If you would call our toll-free number, 877-425-9993, we can talk with you. And you can tell us what's happening. If you are in an emergency situation, please call 911 first. We do have a monthly discussion group, and our next meeting is going to be on July 20th at 6:30 p.m. We call it the Life After Polygamy Discussion Group, and indeed there is an abundant life available after you leave a polygamy group. And we've had some very good group meetings up to date, and if you think this will be for you, give us a call and we'll give you the details. And also, we'd like to remind you that we have the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, available absolutely free. We'll send to you. If you're in a polygamy group or if you've been in one, even if you are in the member of the Mormon Church, we'll send you one if you just will let us know how to get it to you. If you'd rather watch it online, you can go to livinghopeutah.org and watch the entire DVD online. Last night, I spoke with a viewer who had called last week, and she requested that I call her, and we had a very good conversation. She said that she had left the Mormon Church about a year ago, and because she had found out about some very bad doctrine, and she has since become a Christian. As is frequently the case with situations like this, her Mormon friends and family have shunned her because she's had the audacity to exercise her free agency. She has explained her reasons for this to her family, but that hasn't made much difference. And she even suggested to one sibling that she watch this program, Polygamy, What Love Is This? Well, she was promptly told by her sibling that their church leaders, who she's referring to the Mormon Church, has forbidden its members to watch Channel 20. Now, I wonder why. Anyway, of course, she wouldn't watch the show, and I guess there's a lot of them that won't because the leaders have told them not to. Now, I don't know if this is a blanket statement, if this has come from the main church hierarchy, or if this is just as one or two ward areas where this has been said, and I haven't heard which is the case. However, if there's a viewer out there that would know, perhaps you would call in and tell us whether or not this is a mandate for the entire church. But at any rate, I want to ask the question again. Why don't they practice the free agency that they preach? Why the information control? It just continues to keep the sheep of the Mormon Church in their spiritual darkness. How terribly sad. I received an email way last December, and as you'll find out in a couple of minutes why I've held on to it this long, there had to be an appropriate time to read it, and so tonight is that night. And I'd like to read portions of this email from a viewer. She said, "Hi, Doris. Thank you so much for all you do. I and many of my family left Mormonism about a year ago. We are now Christians. Two of the subjects that I researched were polygamy and Masonry. Both subjects I found were not ordained of God nor righteous in any way. Both detract from the Bible and God's Word. I would not be afraid to come on your show and tell my story regarding this miraculous rebirth experience I had. I had never heard of rebirth in the context that the Bible teaches it. It was at the exact moment in which I confessed to God that I had been following the arm of flesh by following Joseph Smith that God gave me new life as He caused the heavy bondage to crumble from me and I was reborn through His Holy Spirit. I thank God every single day and praise Him for what He's doing in my life. I have found that many who realize that their former faith is false have turned to confusion and anger and turmoil in their lives. Some even become atheists in that they wonder if there even is a God. Some find Christ right away by diving headfirst into the Bible and finding a good Christian church. We do Bible studies in our home and have a support group for those coming out of Mormonism. We try to get them into the Bible as soon as we can. You might be amazed at how many are coming out of the LDS Utah of faith in Utah County alone. Yay. God bless you for all you're doing. Thanks for your courage and strength that others can lean on." Well, this woman wrote in the context or in the body of this email, "I would not be afraid to come on your show and tell my story." So I called her and I asked her to come on the show and tell her story. And so tonight I would like to introduce our guest, Kay Brown.
Thank you, Doris.
To tell your story.
You bet, and I bring a lot of voices that are in very much support of you and everything that you're doing. Polygamy is a common thread between the FLDS and the LDS religions.
It is a very common thread, which the LDS, of course, don't want to acknowledge.
Correct.
Acknowledge that. Well, before we get started on the discussion, would you like to give our viewers just a little bit of background and introduce yourself to our viewers?
Sure. Well, I was born and raised mainstream LDS, rich pioneer heritage, actually on my father's side and my mother's side. I've had very many callings over the 50 years that I've been a member of the LDS faith. I was active. Up until 2 years ago, I was a Temple Recommend holding, Relief Society teaching, 100% Mormon. And if anyone had told me that I would be leaving the LDS faith, I would have said, "You are absolutely crazy." But God has had other plans. And I had cause a couple of years ago to research my church history. And everything that I had been taught in the LDS church, I found was not the real history of the church at all, but a completely whitewashed version. We were given the portions that the church wanted us to know. I also discovered that there was quite a metamorphosis of doctrines. They changed quite often. Things that I hadn't realized had been LDS doctrine, actually, that I had studied looking into the history. I found many deceptions of commission and omission. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can qualify that. Mm-hmm. and those were of the historical facts. And I found the promotion of polygamy, polyandry, and Masonry, and I had never even heard of Masonry being anything to do with the LDS Church. It is not something that was ever in any lesson material.
Mm-hmm. No, and it wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, people within the Mormon Church system often will automatically assume when someone leaves their church that there has been some horrible sin take place, or maybe your feelings got hurt really bad. And they just can't believe that there might be a reason called bad doctrine that this person has found. So I'd like to ask you this question before we begin our discussion. Was the reason that you left the Mormon Church because of some sin, or was it because someone hurt your feelings? It's one of the meetings or Sunday schools, or was it bad doctrine that drove you from the church?
Well, it was definitely bad doctrine. Now that I'm a Christian and I have the Holy Spirit, I'm convicted every day of my sins, because we all have sins, big and little.
That's true.
But God doesn't differentiate that way. Sin is sin, and whatever keeps you out of heaven is going to keep you out of heaven.
That's absolutely true. And there's only one thing that will keep us out of heaven, and that's refusing the remedy for our sin.
Exactly.
And that's Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. The Mormon doctrine is just not the gospel Jesus taught. Nor is it the plan of salvation that God had for all of us. It just isn't.
Mm-mm. No, it isn't. And that, unless you're getting in the Bible and studying it. Okay, well, what event started you on your journey out of the Mormon faith system?
Well, a family member announced that he was leaving the LDS faith. And when he had prayed, God answered him and turned his heart to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ in the Bible and to the Christian faith. When I asked him why he would leave the LDS Church, he explained that in his research of the LDS Church history, which is published by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, he found confirmation of Joseph Smith practicing polygamy, polyandry, and masonry, and had come to believe that Joseph Smith was a false prophet. He had found that Joseph Smith had at least 33 wives, documented wives, besides Emma, and that 11 of them were other men's wives.
Mm-hmm.
He went on to say that this wasn't all. He had found that Freemasonry ceremonies and rituals are what is in the LDS temple. And in my research of Masonry, I discovered that that is absolutely the truth. I was a temple attending Mormon.
Mm-hmm. And so you recognized that.
I absolutely recognized the verbiage and much of the symbology, practically all of it. There's some variations, and of course that also has morphed over the years.
So if the temple ceremony was given by God, you'd think it would be unique
and it would have stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So I asked my family member seriously, are you sure about these things? And he said, yes, I'm sure. He said, it's in your set of church history books by Joseph Smith. Now this is the history book, the LDS Church history by Joseph Smith, that he had read.
The official version.
Yes, the official version. And he had actually borrowed that from us. We've had that set for probably 30 years, and I'll bet lots of Mormons have that set sitting in their library. And so I told him, well, you know what, I'm going to check it out. But in the back of my mind, I was still 100% Mormon, and I thought, you know, there's just got to be something he's missing.
So you started on your trek.
I started on my journey. Yeah.
Okay, well, you took the challenge, you know, and that's good. So many people don't. They won't do that. Well, when you and I first met and talked, you had said that you would like to come on the show, and it intrigued me. I liked your testimony. I liked your email, and I thought that what you had to say would be very impacting, very profound to the people, the audience that we want to reach. And you, your heart was in the same place as mine, because you expressed the desire that you wanted, had you known what, when you were a young woman in the Mormon Church, had you known what you know now, things would have been different. And your desire was to let Mormon women now know what you have discovered.
Correct.
And so that's when we decided that this would be a good topic for a show, and I think it, and I still think it is a good one. We want to provoke them to search for the truth and accept the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And so that's why you are here. Would you tell us your conversion experience in your own words?
You bet. I'd be happy to. Well, and I am very concerned about the women and the men. in the LDS Church and the FLDS Church, being taught false teachings like polygamy from false prophets, because we also have that in common as those religions go. Mm-hmm. In Hebrews 1:1-2, we read, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Jesus is our last prophet. That's why we are warned about false prophets in the last days. And I just want you to know that I do not have any agenda of personal gain on coming on your show and saying anything, to your viewers. I'm not starting a new religion, and I'm not claiming some new doctrine. All the doctrine we need is in the Bible. I want everyone to have the opportunity to come to know the Jesus Christ of the Bible, who is our holy God. I also want to share with you my own born-again experience, but I have to kind of do a disclaimer before I do that, and that is I first need to let you know that there are many ways that God gives rebirth. For some, it is they have an intellectual awakening, or some people will see nothing. Some people will see something like the scales removed from their eyes, like the Apostle Paul did, and both of my sisters had that experience.
Now, I'd like to interrupt you right mm-hmm. here just for a moment. Mm-hmm. For our viewers who may not understand what we're talking about, mm-hmm. the reborn experience or the born again, mm-hmm. Jesus told us in John chapter 3 that no one could see the kingdom of God, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born again.
That's exactly right.
And so you're talking about that particular being born again.
That's right, being born again.
Uh-huh. Okay, go ahead.
There are people that have had the same experience that I have. I know that there was a gentleman that went on a talk show one time, and it was a Christian talk show, and he told about his experience, and he actually saw bondage come off of him. So whatever the point I want to make is that whatever God does to open your eyes is all that matters. Mm-hmm. One is not better than the other, nor more deserving of any profound thing. I certainly don't feel like I'm anything special. We're all sinners in need of a personal relationship with the real Jesus Christ to be saved. And now I want to tell you, after all that disclaimer, my rebirth experience, because it was very awesome. After all of my studying, we were camping one weekend. My husband was outside working in the yard, and I was in our trailer. And I believed at that point I had done a lot of study, I would say at least 3 months of practically wearing my eyes out reading and studying. and I felt that I had learned the truth about the real history in Mormonism. So I looked out the window of my trailer, and there was a beautiful white cloud in the sky, and the sunbeams were coming through it, and I thought, God is out there somewhere. And I remember it was midday in the fall of 2007. I really needed to know what God's will was concerning all this. So I began to pray, not knowing what God would think of me and all this information I now had. And to be honest, I was feeling a little bit guilty, actually. But I pleaded with my whole heart to know what to do, as I told God that I could no longer trust the arm of flesh. I told him that I believe the negative things against Joseph Smith and the LDS Church to be true. And I got information from a few sources, not just one. So I was, I did my research. Mm-hmm. And I told God that I am very sorry for following man. And I was crying because I knew in my heart that I had let God down. I was following blindly, accepting a lie. And so I put my hand up toward the sky, and I promised God with every fiber of my being. I said, from this moment on, God, it will be me, Jesus Christ, and you, God, and I promise you from now on. At that exact moment, something of a gray hue fell away from me. It crumbled away from me before my eyes, and I saw the top edges of it. It actually fell right out the window, and I saw the sunlight hit it, and I saw those various sized pieces, and I had no idea, what had just happened. But they fell toward the ground as if they were heavy. And then they just dissipated, and I was left feeling lighter. Mm-hmm. I remember that feeling, and it was like I had just been set free from something, and I recognized that I had been in bondage without even being aware of it. Mm-hmm. And at the next moment, I gasped a big breath that was not my doing. I had nothing to do with that. I then saw a brilliant light that came into me, and I know it was the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. My whole being was filled with the most indescribable light, joy, and freedom that I had ever seen or felt, and my eyes saw the scenery around with just amazing clarity, and the mountains were crisp and clear. My sisters had that experience too. And I could finally really see. This whole experience left me breathless, and I was now sobbing because I knew without any doubt whatsoever that God had heard my prayers, and I understand more fully now that God had literally set me free from the bondage of a false prophet's religion. Mm-hmm. And I had been set free by truth. Mm-hmm. And by my willingness mm-hmm. to accept
your
it.
Your willingness mm-hmm. to research.
To research
and to be, accept.
Yes, absolutely. God does not want us to do things blindly.
Right.
He does not.
Right.
So now I understand that I was reborn. I had never heard of it, certainly not in the context that that is taught very plainly in the Bible. And I've since read what happened to the Apostle Paul when the scales fell from his eyes, and that was an amazing story for me. And I now know that God breathed new life into me and gave me his Holy Spirit, which only God can do, because only God can look into your heart. Mm-hmm. No one else can.
And it gives you a new insight into the verse, I once was blind, but now I see,
oh,
doesn't
yes,
it?
I love that. That's in a song too, isn't it, I think?
It's an amazing grace, yes.
Yeah. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. And he repeated it over again. Now, who said that? Jesus.
Jesus.
I want people to know that God is really there personally watching over their daily lives, because look what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want them to know that the Bible is absolutely the Word of God and it is translated correctly. This was probably the most deceiving thing that Satan had Joseph Smith do, to discredit God's own Word.
Discredit the Bible. Mm-hmm. If he can discredit the Bible, then he's won
got
the
made.
Battle right at the beginning.
Got it made.
And that's what he did.
That's right.
He did it with Adam, with Eve in the garden, the very thing. Did God really say?
Absolutely.
Throwing question on God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. In John 8:31 and 32, and this is coming from the King James Version, I prefer the NIV. Everybody has their favorite. They all say the same thing. It's all the same doctrine. But this is for the viewers who are LDS, you know, if they want to double check this in their King James Version. This says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The LDS teachings preach another Jesus. And I understand that now more plainly. Mm-hmm. The other Jesus is not the person that the Bible preaches.
Well, and Gordon B. Hinckley even admitted that. So
yeah.
that isn't even up for discussion anymore. It shouldn't be anyway.
Right. And that Jesus is only as powerful as we are able to save ourselves by our own works.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jesus covers everything mm-hmm. for everyone.
Right.
Okay.
Right, he does. Well, that's very, very profound. It's a testimony that God has given you, and it is yours.
Yep.
And no one can argue with your own experience.
That's right.
It's what happens. But, you know, it's very unusual, Kay, for an active Mormon to take the time and to have the courage to dig into the past of the church. And most of them will suffer some sort of fear or apprehension before they start doing something like that. So what kind of fears and apprehensions did you experience before and during your decision to investigate Mormonism?
I was really nervous about it because we are taught not really to look to the right or to the left, but straight ahead at the LDS current literature, emphasis on current,
mm-hmm.
because they didn't want you to go back after, you know, certain dates.
Mm-hmm.
So it was always current. And so, of course, you know, I didn't have any idea what I was going to encounter. I'd been faithful.
Right.
I
mm-hmm.
was a faithful Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
I truly was. But I made a commitment to myself. I certainly had the motivation because I had a family member that was struggling. And if I, you know, if I didn't do it for him or me, then, you know, mm-hmm. we'd both be sunk. So in my research, you know, I decided I would avoid anti-Mormon literature, which I understand now is probably stories like mine, and they're termed anti, but they're really not anti, most of them. I mean, I'm sure there's some out there that's bitter. I don't think mine is. I don't have any animosity toward anybody, and I love the LDS mm-hmm. people, you know, mm-hmm. lots of good friends.
Right.
But I was determined to find answers as close to the source as possible, and I decided to first go to Joseph Smith's own church history.
And so instead of going to anything else, you went to its own history. You went right directly to the source itself.
The horse's mouth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Now, last week on the show, I talked about the 14 fundamentals of following the prophet that Ezra Taft Benson had brought up. And I only mentioned the first three about following the living prophet has precedence all over all the previous prophets and even has precedence over the standard works. Mm-hmm. While you were a member of the LDS Church, do you remember learning this, being taught this? And if so, what impact did it have on you? And what is your present opinion of this idea?
Well, we were taught always to follow the current prophet. If a prophet previously had said something and the next prophet changed it, you know, that was what we went with. So over the history, the doctrine was very ambiguous, and there were conflicting doctrines. Just for example, Brigham Young taught for 50 years that Adam is God. It's called the Adam-God theory. Mm-hmm. And that's found in the Journal of Discourses.
Oh, yes, all over the place.
But a later prophet denounced that teaching. God's identity is pretty basic doctrine. And I find it interesting to note that none of the prophets of the Old Testament ever negated a previous prophet. The prophets of the Old Testament pointed to the seed of a woman who would save us from our sins, and he was Jesus Christ. The doctrines never changed because there is no other doctrine to add.
There's nothing else.
Jesus himself often quoted from the Old Testament prophets. God never changes his mind on doctrine. Mormonism, however, morphs constantly, and I'm sorry if that's offensive to anyone, because it is not in my heart to offend the Mormon viewers, but if they check the church history, they will discover that that is, in fact, a fact.
Mm-hmm. They would just check it out. Yeah. That's what we try to get them to do on this show week after week. We ask them, just check it out.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to open up the phone lines if you're interested in asking Kay a question or myself. Feel free to call in. The telephone number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. How much had you previously known about Joseph Smith's experiences in polygamy?
Well, I had never been told in my entire life that Joseph Smith had married other women at all, or other men's wives. We were never told that. In all the lesson materials of the LDS Church, it just wasn't there, and it's still lacking in factual history.
Mm-hmm.
We should have been told the facts concerning polygamy and polyandry, because what kind of an educated decision can a person make if they only have partial information, you know?
And it's designed. They design mm-hmm. it that way. But, you mm-hmm. know, what's so interesting, even with myself being raised in a polygamy group, I do not recall learning that Joseph Smith was a polygamist.
Yeah.
And it seemed like Brigham Young took the brunt for all of the polygamy. But
you know, he did. That's the only one we know.
That Joseph Smith was a polygamist.
Yeah.
It's not surprising he is. He gave the revelation.
No.
But still,
and
it's
I've
amazing.
Asked many women that, too. Sorry not to interrupt you.
That's
but
okay.
I've asked LDS women. One in particular has been a Stake Relief Society president in the mainstream, and she's been a Relief Society president many times, and I asked her, did you know that Joseph Smith took other wives? And she said, no.
Mm.
And that was recently.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that, mm-hmm. and she's still very active, mm-hmm. LDS.
And they've been forbidden to watch this show, so they probably won't find out for quite a while, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how did it make you feel when you discovered that Joseph Smith didn't just dabble in polygamy? He actually took almost 3 dozen wives.
You know, I think that my chin fell on the floor because I literally was shocked. I was so stunned, and I just felt that it was incredible that my lifelong religion had succeeded in deceiving me regarding a lot of things. Once in a Relief Society lesson, there was a mention of a kind of an Abraham Isaac test of a very faithful Mormon man, and I'm sorry, I don't recall who it was, but it was a lesson in the Relief Society, who had been told by Joseph Smith that this man's wife was to be his. So Joseph was basically telling him, you know, your wife is mine. But then we were told it was just a test of his loyalty to Joseph. But there are many journals of women who Joseph did take as polyandrous mm-hmm. wives for time and eternity who were other men's wives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my blind faith in imperfect men had nearly cost me my salvation. And I was hurt. I was angry. but this eventually mixed with some forgiveness, and now I feel compassion for anyone who doesn't know the truth of God's salvation.
I think it's a process that people who leave the LDS Church, and this can go with polygamy groups too, by the way, this is the same doctrine we're dealing with, the same undercover lack of information control. Actually is what it is. But when you find out that you've been lied to, there's a process you go through, and anger is part of it.
Yeah, it's
and
a mourning.
There's a mourning, almost like you've lost a best friend or a family member when you discover, because it's all you've ever known.
That's right.
And you have to delve into something else. Well, you went through this process. Would you like to share with our viewers some of the reading material that you chose in your quest to discover the information about the polygamy, Joseph Smith's polygamy, and how you know that you could trust the information you were reading?
Sure. In fact, there is a quote that I would like to read. When I went to that church history, Joseph C. Kingsbury, in Joseph Smith history again, this is a quote. It says, "I will add that I also knew that the prophet Joseph Smith had married other women besides his first wife, Emma. I was well aware of the fact of his having married Sarah Ann Whitney, the eldest daughter of Bishop Newell K. Whitney, and Elizabeth Ann Whitney, his wife. And the prophet Joseph told me personally that he had married other women in accordance with the revealed will of God, and spake concerning the principle as being a command of God for holy purposes." So that was, you know, the church history obviously was the first one I went to. But then when I knew that that was a fact, and that's found in volume 5, if anybody wants to look it up, in that church history of Joseph Smith, then I went to look for those histories. And Todd Compton, he is a historian, LDS. Mm-hmm. I think he's still LDS, actually.
He is.
And he did a compilation of the journals and histories of the 33 wives. And, of course, that included the 11 polyandrous relationships.
Now, before you go further, there might be some viewers who are not familiar with the word polyandry. Would you explain that word to our viewers?
Sure. Polyandry is when a woman has more than one husband.
Polygamy is a man has more than one wife, and polyandry is a woman has more than one husband. Mm-hmm. So there's polyandry and polygamy taking place.
Absolutely, yes, yes. And I read some of those histories, and the book actually opened my eyes to the impossibility of any kind real fidelity in those kinds of relationships, in any relationship where there's not one woman and one man. And one of the resources that Todd Compton used was the LDS Church's own archives. So that's, you know, pretty critical there to know that. He did glean information from other reputable libraries, around the country that had collected the various histories and journals of eyewitnesses, early Mormons, left personal evidences of actual facts and real history in a few states across the U.S. because the LDS were, moving through, and so there were histories that were left. Mm-hmm. And my heart also went out to the husbands of the polyandrous wives.
Now, the polyandrous, what about the men? Mm-hmm. Well, we have a couple of phone calls coming in. Let's go to them, and then I'd like to ask this question about your opinion of these men who are caught up in this too. Okay, we have on line one, we have Mark from Ogden. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mark?
No, this is Leah.
Oh, my. Well, you don't want to be called Mark for now, do you?
You can call me Mark if you'd like.
Okay, Leah. We have the wrong information here. I'm sorry. But, Leah, what is your question? You're on the air.
Well, my question is, Doris, is I was married to an LDS man for a short time, and everything changed the minute we were married, and he was extremely controlling, and, I mean, to the point that wanting to know what books I read, what radio stations I listened to, and what was odd to me, it was that everything changed from the day we got married, and I'm just kind of wondering what mindset he was in. Why does the LDS men think that they need to have such control over women in that way?
Okay, Kay, you're recent from that environment. Would you like to answer that?
Well, you know, there are lots of different personalities out there. I wouldn't necessarily blame it just strictly on the LDS Church. Some people, women and men, are controlling, you know, by nature. But one of the things that could play into that would be that they have the priesthood and they are the head of the home. And it, because they're the head of the home, they tend to maybe sometimes feel that every single issue, whether it's anything of much importance at all, really, you know, they have to have the last say. And that isn't always the way it is in any relationship. You know, there has to be the give and take.
Mm-hmm. I think also that what you said is true, but I do believe that the Mormon religion, that starting from Joseph Smith, has demeaned women. They've devalued women. And we see that with the history and with polygamy, and I believe that's part of it as well. Yeah. But I believe it's priesthood and some of their background. Leah, I take it you're not LDS?
I'm not, no.
Okay. I hope that answers your question.
I think you did answer my question. I do think that they feel like they are the ultimate rulers, and
well, they're going to become gods, you know.
Yeah.
And that's
so. In my belief, there's only one God. There's only one judge.
Mm-hmm. That's true. There is only one God, and there'll always only be one God. Well, thank you, Leah. I appreciate your phone call.
You're welcome.
Okay. Good night. Okay, line two, Tina from West Jordan. Hello, Tina.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm so curious with both you and Kate about the research that you guys have done.
Okay.
And wondered if it's been written down and available to the public.
Well, we were just talking about that before the phone call started coming in. In fact, at the end of the show, we were going to offer to send a list by email to anyone who wants a list of the information that she read and the resource material that she used. If you would like it, just email us, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and we'll send that list to you.
Oh, that'd
yes,
be wonderful.
Yes, it is available. And another place you can go is utlm.org online. There's all kinds of information there, all documented, all of them have footnotes.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I just, sorry.
No, that's okay. We appreciate your call.
I just wonder how people, even if, say, you didn't know Joseph Smith was a polygamist, that you know that Brigham Young was, and he was a prophet, and how they can base their lives on a pervert.
Well,
you know,
Tina, and Kay mentioned tonight as she was talking, and I've read so many places, that they call living polygamy holy. And I don't understand how you can get holiness out of this kind of activity. I can't comprehend that.
I just don't get it.
No.
I just, you know, it's sick. And there's enough men on this world, and back then there was plenty of men and women.
Yes, there were.
That they didn't need to do that.
That's right. Contrary to the current myth. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, just you know how men are. I don't think they need any other women.
Well, how are they, Tina? No, that's not.
We hear that same statement from men. You know how women are. It's usually they're driving. But
okay, Kay, what was it you wanted to say?
I you know, that was just funny, so I just lost my train of thought, but that's okay. It's all right.
Okay. Thank you, Tina. We appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Call.
I'll uh-huh. email you.
Okay, good.
Okay,
good.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Bye.
Okay, Jane from Lehigh. Hello, Jane.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. What's your question?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And thank you to Kay for going on and telling her story.
Mm-hmm.
I left the Mormon Church, resigned, sent my resignation letter into the church about 4 years ago. Have not told my family, mm-hmm. Have not brought it up to very many of my neighbors, because whenever I do, I get very negative comments, and then it turns into an argument, and it's, why do you feel this way? Why this? Why that? And it gets very, it's very difficult.
Yes.
And it's very frustrating because I know what I know, and they don't want to listen to the truth. They don't want to hear the truth because it's so ingrained. I know that another family member has left the church, and at the time when they did, my mom, whose father had been a bishop, said to that family member, what would my father think? And so it's very difficult for people who have been raised Mormon, that's all they ever know, to look at the truth and mm-hmm. realize what the truth truly is and leave something that is ingrained in them so heavily,
especially in this
community.
It's very frightening to face the fact that you've believed something that's not true all your life. Unfortunately, when they think, well, what will so-and-so think if they know that so-and-so left? The most important thing they don't understand is, what is God going to think? Or what are they going to think when they get to the judgment seat? And they knew that they had the opportunity to follow the truth, or at least research and find out the truth, and they didn't take that opportunity. What are they going to think then? And then it'll be eternally too late. Another thing, Jane, I noticed that you are from Lehi, and Kay is from Utah County, and we mentioned in the beginning of the show that she holds Bible studies and
Absolutely.
So on. So if you'd like to get a hold of Kay after the program, you can email me at tv@aboutpolygamy.com, and I can give her your information, and maybe you can get together and be some encouragement to each other.
Oh, I would love that. That would be wonderful.
Okay, great.
I feel like I'm an island unto myself here.
You don't have to do this alone. You just would be amazed at how many women there and men, families. I'm so blessed because my husband came out with me. That doesn't always happen, but you know, you just don't have to do this alone. You do need support because it is a difficult process to go through, and it's the right thing to do. You know, God says He wants all of His children, and we have to base our decisions on what God wants us to do, because we are in the hope that God will do everything that He needs to for all of those individuals we're worried about at this time. Just give love back to those who don't understand, and in time everything will work out. I have to tell you, some of my family who are not haven't come out of the LDS Church have been very gracious to us and have loved us. And we've tried to tell them the things in love. And so, you know, God is love. You just can't beat love to help to open people's hearts.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on, because I look forward to these shows.
Thank you.
Every
I do
week.
Too.
I mean, I love it. I love when the show is on.
Thank you, Jane.
This is the show I really needed to see. So thank you.
Thank you for the encouragement.
Thank you, Jane. We pray that we'll get the show on that people need to see. So God's answering our prayers.
Well, you did it tonight, that's for sure.
Thank you. Good night, Jane.
Thank you.
Bye. Well, we have Mark from Ogden on line one. Let's see if this is Mark. Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
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 Yeah, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just had a question. Since she's decided that the LDS faith is pretty well a myth and not really true, has she found it kind of easy to think within herself that perhaps even the existence of a god or a deity is also a myth, and that perhaps, you know, all the things that she's been taught spiritually growing up just aren't really true?
You know, that is a really good question. The truth is no, because even as LDS, I had a relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ. I didn't know that it wasn't the Jesus Christ of the Bible, the real traditional Jesus Christ who with all power to save. I believed in a Jesus Christ, so I did have a relationship with Him. And, you know, He's sovereign, so He is out there ready to save, ready to listen and reach out to every single person, no matter where you're at, whether you're in whatever faith you're in. And all miracles come from Him directly. So, you know, I hope that answered some of your question. I went straight to Jesus Christ, and if people will do that right away. I never did question that they were real, that God and Jesus Christ are real, because I've had too many miracles in my life directly from God. I know now they were directly from God. I used to associate that with my association with the LDS Church. I thought, well, I'm a faithful member of the LDS Church, so everything that ever happens to me that's any good must be because I'm a member of that church. But now I know that God is so much bigger than that, and His sovereignty does everything for everybody, no matter where you're at.
So was it then a different spirit that confirmed the existence of God and Christ to you than what helped you come to believe earlier in your life what the teachings of the Mormon Church were? Was it a different spirit?
You know, yes, it was. It was God doing this, and I can tell you this, every person that I've ever spoken with who has had a reborn experience in any various way have all said that it was so profound that they knew from that moment on. But here's the key. You have to give your heart directly to God and Jesus Christ. You have to say, God, here am I, here I am. What is your will? What do you have to say about all this? And believe that He's there, because I'm here to tell you tonight, He is there, and He is aware of every individual. So you do not have to ever doubt that. You know, He's there, and you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm just a person. You'd be following the arm of flesh if you followed Kay Brown. So I can say this, follow God, believe He's there, and allow Him to show you that He is there, and you will see, and you may not even be questioning, but anybody out there, you will have a personal relationship with the Savior, and you will know that you're saved. You will know that your sins are forgiven and that you are dealing directly with God, because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the veil was split from the top to the bottom. God opened the way from the top all the way down to man. And we now deal with Jesus Christ, God, directly.
There's no mediator. There's no church. There's no priesthood. There's no bishop. There's nothing between us and God.
Jesus Christ. That's right.
I've heard that, and I tend to believe that. I just have. I'm kind of somewhat agnostic, and I've been trying to pray and read and figure out what's really there, what really exists.
Mark,
maybe I'm doing it without faith, but you know, that's just,
well, you know, if you're really looking for
happening.
Truth, God will honor that. And if you ever need any help, or it's just, you can always email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We can get somebody that would come and talk with you without pressure, just talk with you and answer your questions. So remember that too. We're here to help you. We're here to help anybody find the truth.
And I have an awesome Bible study that is geared directly for ex-LDS that teaches you the differences in the doctrine, and when you get done with that, you know. So, you know, let Doris know that you want to talk to me, and I'd be happy to talk to you also.
Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark, for calling. Good night. Okay, we have an off-the-air question. Sherry in Salt Lake City called, and she wanted Kay. This is for you, Kay.
Okay.
What does your immediate family think about you becoming a Christian?
Well, their comment, the ones that are still in the Mormon religion, their comment is, well, at least they believe in Jesus Christ. Their eyes haven't been opened yet to all of this. So, yeah. I hope that answered your question.
So, in other words, that you haven't had any derogatory comments about becoming a Christian?
You know, Christianity is, you're a Christian. That's really what you are. And that's where the term Christian comes from, the followers of Christ. I really haven't. I think that a lot of people just don't quite understand why we would even do this, because their eyes weren't open, and my eyes weren't open my whole life. So, you know, becoming a Christian is just going straight to Jesus Christ. Right. I have to tell you, when I walked in a Christian church and we sang songs, And it wasn't praise to the man. It was, every word was Jesus mm-hmm. Christ and God. I sobbed mm-hmm. because I was praising my God.
Yes.
And that is how it needs to be.
That was exactly my experience too. I was just amazed
awesome.
That we were singing songs to Jesus.
It was the most wonderful thing. And I listened to all that music today, all day today, and it was very calming to my heart.
Okay. We were talking about the polyandry of Joseph Smith. The husbands, there's different figures. There are figures from 11 to 14 possibilities of Joseph marrying women who were already married to mm-hmm. to living husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Were those husbands, now some of them had to have known that their wives were also married to Joseph Smith. Some of them may not have known, but there were some who had to have known. Were these husbands, do you see them as being victims, or do you see them more being followers of a fallen prophet?
Well, I see them as victims, absolutely. They were also following, a false prophet. A fallen prophet is different. You'd have to be a prophet to begin with, and I honestly don't believe, I know, I can't say I don't believe, I know mm-hmm. that Joseph Smith was not a prophet of God. And the way that I have the boldness to declare that is that my prayer was very specific to God. I told him that I believed the things that the LDS Church taught were to be wrong, and he answered my prayer. So I'm pretty bold on that. I think Warren Jeffs is a victim. He was born, I don't know if he was born into it, but I know he was raised into it. Okay, yeah. He was born into mm-hmm. it. So, you know, he is a victim also. God loves us all.
But there comes a point where you have to quit being a victim and you mm-hmm. are responsible for your own actions.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows when that point is.
Yeah.
We do have some more calls coming in. Let's do this quickly. We got three, line two from Ogden. We have Marcia from Ogden. Hello, Marcia, you're on the air. Marcia?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air, Marcia.
Oh, hi. I'd like to ask my question, and I hope and pray that I'll ask it in a manner that it can be understood. And by the way, you spelled my name wrong, but that doesn't make any difference. It's M-A-R-S-H-A. But I used to be LDS, and I became a Christian after being out of the church for a while, active for a while, and then became a Christian and everything. And I've told people that I work with from time to time that if somebody is still in the Mormon church and if they say that they believe in Christ and everything, that they're, because they're in the LDS church and their concept of Jesus is different, they can't really be born again because it's conflicting terms. And they said, well, they don't really think that I wouldn't be able to say that. I wouldn't be able to know. They might have a relationship with Jesus. But personally, I think if they had the actual Bible relationship with Jesus, they would realize that the church, the Mormon church, is wrong, and they would come out of it. They can't have it both ways. It'd be an oxymoron. I hope I stated this in a manner that is understood, and I'll hang up so I can hear your response, if I may, please.
Okay. Thank you, Marcia.
Thank you.
You too. Thanks. Okay, let's do this quickly. We have a couple of other calls waiting, and we're getting towards the end of the show. Marcia, God knows the heart of someone who's truly seeking Him. And if somebody believes in a false Christ, and yet they're having a heart to know the truth and really follow God, they will find the true Christ. That just will happen. I do believe that there are people who love Jesus, and they've got the wrong Jesus, but I truly also believe that God draws those to Him who truly want to know Him as well. And so where that transition is and where that bridge is, we dare not tread there. We just have to pray for the results that God would bring them on through, and I do believe He does that. I don't believe He lets anyone go.
Mm-mm.
Okay, Nita, line three. Hello, Nita. Nita? Hello? Are you there? Nita? Okay, I'm going to assume she's not there. Line one, Lanny from Ogden. Hello, Lanny.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I don't know how familiar you guys are with Dr. Wayne Dyer. He's done a lot of lecture and book selling and stuff and fundraising on Channel 11 and Channel 7, the PBS things. and he's done a lot of speeches at Utah Valley and at BYU as well. But he, in his writings, he talks a lot about blind faith and just following things from the top down and not questioning and just doing the Lord's work and never asking, well, why am I doing this and by what authority and stuff. And he says that sounds to him, he says that that has more of the feel of satanic behavior. And the example he uses is Hitler's Germany. They just followed Hitler off the end of the earth. They would have done anything with that man, no matter how crazy he was. And I feel that way. But I feel also being a member of the LDS Church and a member of the priesthood that I'm chastised for doubting and questioning. And I do worry about that. I am not blindly patriotic and blindly full of faith.
Lanny, we're getting close.
Pretty strong. But.
We're getting close to the end of the time, and I really appreciate your call because you're admitting something that very few people will admit. And you should not be chastised for questioning. Jesus' disciples constantly questioned him, and he never chastised them for it. He always answered them.
Exactly.
And so I appreciate.
I'm more of a Christian than I am a good anything.
Well, why don't you just, as Sean McCraney says, abandon ship and turn to Christ, and we'll help you.
Amen. Yes. Amen to that.
Oh, thank you. Good night. Okay, we need to close the show. Thanks for Kay for being here.
Thank you
You've
for having
real
me.
Real pleasure, and I just
been
really,
my
you
pleasure.
Helped some people. Appreciate it
I
very
hope
much.
So.
And our closing comments. Have you ever heard? I'm sure you have heard actually from people to say that things just are not as they seem, or perhaps the road to hell is littered with good intentions. Perhaps that's what God had in mind when He warned us in Proverbs 14:12 that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is a warning from God that the way that you're following that you think might be taking you into eternal glory will actually take you right straight to hell. Many of our viewers may think that they're on the right way, but they don't know, and tragically, they don't want to know if it's the wrong way. You know, we tend to think that if our parents or our grandparents or their parents before them believed the same thing we do, then it must be right. But you are responsible. We are responsible to test for ourselves, and perhaps they didn't do the testing. We have a command from God to test all things, and we have the obligation to obey Him. Proverbs 14:12 is a warning from your loving God that the way that you might seem right might not be right. Is it right? What if it isn't? What if? Are you willing to take that risk? It's an eternal consequence if you don't. You know, the Bible says that we are to test the spirits. We are to test the doctrines. We are to test the prophets who claim to be prophets and see if they're real. Isaiah 8:20 says, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. And that's referring to the Bible. Do your beliefs match up to what the Bible teaches? You need to test it. It's your obligation to do so. And we pray that you'll do so tonight. Thank you for watching. We hope to see you again next week on our program, Polygamy, What Love Is This?
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again. Mm-hmm.